Good evening, sweet friends. It's good to see you. So nice to sit with you. Randy says it right when he says we look forward to this evening, having you in our homes. So we are continuing talking about building and sustaining a meditation practice, and that's not easy. You know, it takes the right effort, but it takes beginning again and beginning again. I can't tell you the years that I have practiced how many times that beginning again has encouraged me that, oh, okay, I can begin again. So we've talked about some of the fundamentals, like how to prepare for the practice and making a commitment and using good posture along with scanning our body to really get to know the whole body awareness. Last week, stabilizing the mind and establishing our breath practice along with coming back to the breath, coming back to the breath. So tonight I want to talk about the next on our long list is self-compassion. And I have to say, it's probably, and I'm no expert or by any means, I suspect it's one of the biggest hindrances in the practice. But the Buddha taught us that there is suffering, and there's a kind of a relief to that, that nothing's wrong with suffering. But he says there's a cause, and he says there's an end to the suffering. And that's exactly what we're doing now as a group, is we're working as a group towards seeing where we are creating our own suffering. And a teacher has said 99% of it comes from the mind. And as a result, it behooves us to learn the nature of the mind, not just the mind, but what it involves in being a human being. And speaking of the mind, our sufferings many times get stuck in just our mind states that we're not even aware of. You know, those mind states that tells us we're not good enough, or that something's wrong with us, or we're unworthy. And these mind states, they're so cruel because they're not true, for one thing, and they're optional, and they close us off to ourselves, and we need ourselves in many, many different ways. So meditation helps us to open a little at a time. We're beginning to open to it all. I ran across this quote. It says, talk to yourself as if you are talking to someone you love. Now, aren't we having dialogue with ourselves? Certainly we are. We're saying things to ourselves all the time. But usually it's very rude talk. We know that. We're not very nice to ourselves. Through not knowing what to do with the guilt and the shame. And so, where is the compassion for ourselves? It's a very important skill. And one of the ways that we can begin is to begin to recognize our own suffering. We can't be moved by our suffering or our pain if we can't acknowledge it, if we can't find it. So that's what we're trying to do in our meditation. Where is it? And we must know to acknowledge it, to be able to recognize our own homemade suffering. And that's what RAIN is all about, the acronym RAIN, where we can carry that with us everywhere, where we're constantly and consistently recognizing and allowing, and going to the body to investigate the felt sense of what's happening within. Now, the felt sense is what's real. That's the only real thing, is that felt sense. That's why investigating it in our bodies puts us closer and closer to the impact that the suffering, the homemade suffering, provides us. So bringing ourselves back to self-awareness. And sometimes there's so much pain, that's all we can do is be with the pain. But more often than not, we're probably not recognizing all of our suffering. Much of the Western culture, as you well know, has a strong, stiff upper lip tradition that we're taught not to complain. And if we're in difficult or stressful situation, we don't know to take the time to kind of step back and pause and recognize how any moment is very hard. And that's okay, because that is noticing and acknowledging, and it's healing. Because as you well know, it's difficult to be a human being. And isn't it nice that there's a group of people, or there's some people who really know how difficult it is, and we connect with those difficulties instead of separate. So it's difficult to be a human being. And when our suffering comes from self-judgment, because we get angry at ourselves when we don't do it right, if we mistreated someone, or we made some stupid remark, it's even harder then to step back to see these are moments of suffering. Oh, we certainly carry them with us and play that record over and over and over again to make sure we can make ourselves miserable just a little bit longer. So we all make mistakes at one time or another. It's a fact. It's a law of nature. If you're not making mistakes, something is wrong with you. So we are perfectly imperfect. And we're learning to live with that with compassion. Because one of the downsides of living in a culture that stresses ethics of independence and individual achievement is we set up these conceptual goals, and then when we don't meet them, then who do we blame? We blame ourselves. And yet in the practice, we learn, no, don't set goals. Plant seeds. Plant seeds of possibility. Because in planting seeds of possibility, there's a lot of wiggle room in that. And it's more compassionate. So, even if we're at fault, and we will be, that means, does that mean we don't deserve compassion? The truth is, and this is the truth, is everyone is worthy of compassion. The Buddha says, you can search throughout the entire universe for someone who is more deserving of your love and affection than you or yourself, and that person will not be found. The very fact that we are conscious human beings, and I think that's in my own personal practice has helped me gain more compassion for myself, because I see myself as part of nature, a human being. I didn't have any control. Nature, the laws of nature controls our lives. And so we are special in that way. We are intrinsically valuable and we deserve care. It's time. Okay? It's time. It's time to shift. Yes, continue caring for the world, but we cannot afford to leave ourselves out, because we are the world. We are what is being created out in the world. And so self-compassion, that's not easy for us here in the West, because it sounds, well, self-pity or maybe self-indulgence, or there's a fear of being narcissistic. Well, it's just not true. It's just one of those things we've been conditioned, and it's just not true. And it runs directly counter to the actual meaning of self-compassion. It's our God-given something. It's compassion for ourselves and for everyone. Self-compassion doesn't mean that we think our problems are more important than others. It just means we think our problems are also important and worthy of being attended to. Not by someone else. Just like the poet says, mothering ourselves. I mean, most of us have been mothered. We know how that feels. But we're too old for our mothers. But we're not too old to mother ourselves. It just means we think that our problems are important, rather than condemning ourselves for mistakes and failures. We can use the experience of suffering to soften our heart. We're shifting. we can let go of those unrealistic expectations of perfection that is so dissatisfying. And then we're opening to what's real. What is true satisfaction? And by giving ourselves the compassion we need in the moment is a practice and a consistent one. Because self-compassion provides us an island of calm. It's a refuge from the stormy seas of endless positive and negative self-judgment. Did you say positive? I said, yeah, positive. Because this, we ride this roller coaster. High, 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 low, 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 lower than low. High, 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 low, 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 lower than low. We ride a roller coaster that is not necessary. So we can start asking ourselves, instead of asking, am I good enough? Am I getting enough? Am I enough? We can have a dialogue about ourselves where, we can encourage ourselves. I mean, think about how we stress ourselves out. So, why not? And it's magical. This is what we find out. It's magical because we begin to feel the power that it transforms suffering into joy. Is there joy with no suffering? So when we give ourselves compassion, it just releases us a negative self-judgment. And it dissolves. Or if it comes up, we're not attached to it. We say, oh, I've heard you before, you know. I know who you are. You're a mind state. I've seen you before. I've hung out with you. But I know you, who you are. I know your true nature. You're just a little mind state that I've carried along with me for a long, long time. And I haven't questioned you. And when I start interrogating, no, not interrogating, when I start getting interested, I begin to see for myself, it's just not true. And so what comes to us as a result is what? Well, it's the peace. It's the connection. It's the acceptance that we deserve. So it's a good to ask, how do we typically react to ourselves? What types of things do we typically judge and criticize for ourselves? Recognizing and knowing it. Is it our appearance? Is it our career? Is it our relationship? Is it our parenting? Is it age-old stuff? We can't always feel good about ourselves. And our lives will be flawed and imperfect. But self-compassion will always be there waiting for us. It's the safe haven. It's the refuge. It's wisdom. And it allows us to live in a very happy way with the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. It teaches us the wisdom of how to relate to those things before we investigated that we didn't know what to do with, except use it against ourselves. So self-compassion helps us move to a better place. And it does take work to break down self-criticizing, habits of a lifetime. But at the end of the day, we can begin to relax. And Randy mentioned that tonight in the meditation, relax, observe, and allow. Why is the relaxing so important? Well, I didn't know how to relax before I started meditating. The relaxation opens us to all the truths within us and without us. And it sets the stages for all possibilities. So, you have homework. Steve, you want to set up our little document? This is your homework. And this is from the book Self-Compassion by Kristen Neff, one of our friends and fellow. We've meditated with her for years, and she's quite famous now. But she says any of us can use this, and this is from her book Self-Compassion. And you can see these are questions. She said this is the short form. And so I'll be sending it to you for you to be able to see things for yourself. And she also has a coding and scoring key. So your homework is just that. And so I'll be sending that to you tonight or in the morning. And with that, I'll say thank you. And now we'll open it up to you.
I might have put the link to that form in the chat box, which I think you can just click on it and go there. Oh, or copy it and put it into your browser and go there.
You're wonderful, Steve.
Well, would you tell Marion?
Yes, Marion, look at me. He's wonderful. But you know that. Okay, Randy, come over.
He's over.
Oh, yeah, come over. So, what do you think about all that?
I really love that talk. It almost brought tears to my eyes.
Nice,
you know, I don't think you can really this practice without self-compassion. It just all begins there. It's real rigid.
Have an open heart.
Self-centered.
That's what we're going to talk about tonight.
I'd like to say something.
Okay.
One of the things that we keep hearing. I have a 3-year-old granddaughter who thinks she's